A reading from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold. And they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And now the gospel reading from the book of Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all of the towns and arrived ahead of them. And as he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. The shepherd of the people. He fed us faithfully and truly. He fed us with counsel when we were in doubt, with inspiration when we sometimes faltered, with caution when we would be rash, with calm, clear, trustful cheerfulness through many an hour when our hearts were dark. He fed hungry souls all over the country with sympathy and consolation. He spread before the whole land feasts of great duty and devotion and patriotism. And who of us has not taken and eaten and grown strong? These were the words of the great Episcopal priest and preacher Phillips Brooks in remembrance of the life and legacy of Abraham Lincoln, who did indeed shepherd the flock of our nation through its darkest valley, and like Christ, in the end, laid down his own life for the sake of the sheep. And so, in both, there was then both, shepherd and lamb, salvation and also sacrifice. And in the green pastures, the knowledge that a shepherd had come and had cared for the flock all across the countryside, the shepherd of the people. To speak of a head of state in shepherd's terms is not an inappropriate association. That is what the shepherd symbolized in ancient Israel. David was a little shepherd boy who grew up to become king. And his kingship and that of those that followed after him were all symbolized by the symbol of the shepherd. So when the Bible talks about the shepherds, it is talking about the kings and the leaders and the lords of the land, with a few notable exceptions, like that of Psalm 23, where it talks about the Lord being a shepherd. And in John, where Jesus talks about himself being the good shepherd. Good shepherds were apparently hard to find in those days. Shepherds in ancient Israel were sort of like cowboys here in the West. There was a lot of myth and lore around cowboys, but the reality was a little less, well, romantic, and oftentimes more criminal. As the late, great Larry McMurtry once wrote, "The myth of the cowboy grew purer every year because there were so few actual cowboys to contradict it." So too with the myth of the shepherd. They had a lot of lore, which we added to with our beautiful stained glass depictions. But the reality was less idyllic. Shepherds were not known for being nice or loyal or particularly truthful. In fact, the testimony of a shepherd was not even admissible in a court of law. People didn't trust them, and for good reason, because a lot of them weren't trustworthy. They lied, they drank, they abused the sheep, they slept on the job. It was hard to find a good shepherd, especially for less than $15 an hour. And rarely would you ever find someone really willing to risk something for the sake of the sheep. Instead, when the wolves came, most of the shepherds, the hired hands, would just run away. So the sheep were left scattered and vulnerable and traumatized. And the scattered and scared flock with the destructive and derelict shepherds became a kind of parable for a nation in peril. So Jeremiah the prophet says in our Old Testament lesson today, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away. So I will attend to you. Then I myself will gather the remnant of the flock, and I will bring them back to the fold, and I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord." And so then, in the book of Mark, as I just read, just after the scene we read last week, where the king was shown to be so callous and cruel and drunk on his wine and his power, we are given another scene with Jesus and the people. And Mark's words to describe them, haggard and gaunt on the shores of the Sea of Galilee like sheep without a shepherd. And like a shepherd, Jesus has the flock to sit down on what Mark is very keen to call the green grass. And he feeds them there on the shoreline. Get that. He makes them sit down on the green grounds and feeds them beside the still waters. Somehow that sounds familiar. The Lord Jesus is their shepherd, their good shepherd, the shepherd of the people. And he sends other shepherds, his disciples, out into the midst of the sheep to feed and to care for the flock. Which is where you and I come into this story. Think of this moment we are living in as a nation, and how so many of our institutions and their leadership are in doubt right now. There seems to be a crisis of legitimacy at every level of society, whether it be in government or business or academia or policing or even in the church. Lord knows we've done a lot of things to warrant the distrust. Some really bad shepherds have threatened and abused and divided and scattered the flock. And the question is, how do we get back the lost sheep? How do we regather the fold? I think the answer to that is very simple. The answer to that is for each of us to do what is within our own power to reach out and to try to rebuild trust and to connect and to care and to try to communicate a sense of empathy and compassion for all of God's people. Some really bad shepherds have done a whole lot of harm. So we need some good shepherds. Shepherds in business and in government and on the police force and in the church. Shepherds in sports and in schools and on school boards and in boardrooms and in medicine. Shepherds who can come along and show the sheep that what Jeremiah said is true. That they don't have to be dismayed or afraid any longer. For he will raise up shepherds to watch over them. Shepherds whom the flock will trust and not be afraid of. We have the good shepherd with us. And he has shown us how to care. He has shown us mercy and compassion and self-sacrificing love. But he doesn't do it all alone. That's an important part of the text. He places responsibility upon the disciples. He places responsibility upon us. He puts the bread of life into our hands and tells us to go out and to tend and to feed the flock. Our countries and its institutions have often lost their way. They've lost the trust and the confidence of the people said to be under their care. The Good Shepherd desires to bring them all back. And he asks us to help him to go out and to gather the lost sheep and to bring them back into the fold. I think I've told you before about the shepherd who came and tended and cared for me when I was pretty darn lost myself. I was in seminary, and the combination of being alone and a long ways from home, and for the very first time really having to wrestle with the truth of all of the sheep that the church and church folk had harmed over all of the centuries led me to a very dark and dismayed place. You know what they say, that the truth shall set you free, but first it will really tick you off. And I was ticked off. I was angry and isolated and disillusioned and on the verge of real despair. It was the dark night of the soul for me, and I was in a crisis of faith. I didn't believe in God anymore or in the church, which was a tough place to be given that I was paying $30,000 a year tuition to study both. It was depressing, and I was depressed. So I isolated and I self-medicated with booze, and there were days I didn't know if or whether I wanted to come out of it all. Then one Sunday I found myself actually in church. I don't know why I was there. Maybe it was because something inside me wanted to still believe. I don't know. Regardless, my plan was to get up and go out through the side door as quick as I could, because as I was intending, I did not want to talk to the preacher. But then after the benediction, as everyone sat while the organist played the postlude, as we do here, Pastor Mel Williams, who knew that I was struggling and knew that I was not going to go out there and shake his hand at the door, just came and sat next to me in the pew, and without saying a word, reached over and just gently held my hand. I can't say that I immediately began to believe in God again, or in the church for that matter. But what I can say is this: that I left that service that day alive, at least for another day, and with a mind to think that there really is such a thing as a good shepherd, after all. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. And they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, declares the Lord. The Lord will raise up shepherds for his people. And yea, they walk, though they walk through the darkest of valleys, they shall not be afraid. For the shepherd of the people shall raise up more shepherds. And the soul of the flock shall be strengthened with hope and with courage. Yet once more, thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people then said, Amen.